Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenidge coming to you live and in color from the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. How are you doing? And what is happening with you? I hope all is well.
I hope all is well tonight, and we'll be getting into the declaration momentarily. Since we're just having a little technical difficulty tonight, but we'll get there. And hope that you bear with us as we go through our information for tonight's show. We want to let you know that we are going to Belize in South America this year for the 24th annual summit event, and that will be starting July 31st to August 3rd. So we'll be in Belize for that period of time. Let's start out with the declaration, and we will go from there. So the Declaration of the International Black Summit, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships. We declare nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west. Above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please, as we begin this radio show. Thank you. And we welcome Miss Bird, Henrietta Bird from Chi-Town, to the conversation. How are you,
thank you,
Henrietta?
Hi, Glenn. How are you this evening?
I am good. I am good. I am got about 10 inches of snow.
Up in
New Hampshire. So we were experiencing winter wonderland.
That's a good place to be, right, when it snows.
That's right. All snuggled up and you know, like that.
Sure.
So I'm doing good. I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm on my third day of my cleanse this year. You know, I always cleanse in January. And and I'm feeling pretty good. Third day can be interesting, you know. But I did pretty good today. I noticed my emotions were all over the place. I remembered, oh, this is the third day. And it affects
right.
It affects you differently. Like sometimes the third day is like you get really hungry or you get really something, you know, like physical. But I didn't have any of that, but my emotions were everywhere, you know, today. But it's really been a good day, really been a good day. So, you know, yesterday, and I should say good evening to the listeners. Excuse me, I'm having this personal conversation with Glenn. But yesterday, right, just for some International Black Summit update news, Friday and Saturday we had a weekend. We had a summit weekend, which we have so several, many times throughout the year, and is where we take care of the business of the summit, and it's where we train, the facilitator body trains, and the leadership council comes together, and we do the work of the summit as a group. And this year, it was a virtual meeting, and it was so nice. We had a very nice number of people attend, and it was really something. Just really, really a great experience. Yesterday's meeting was 15 and a half hours long. Did you hear me, Glenn?
I sure did.
Okay.
15 hours, huh?
Well, 16 hours.
And that was just yesterday?
No, that was just yesterday, because we decided rather than have it on both on Saturday and Sunday, we would put everything on one day. And I thought, you know, I was like, oh, our agenda, you know, whatever, we're gonna do breeze right through this, but I forgot this was the summit. I forgot, you know, and it's really the beauty of the summit, because if it goes like a quote unquote normal agenda, it wouldn't be the summit conversation. It would just be a normal agenda. The summit conversation is a conversation, and what I got was, when you are in a conversation, you're in communication, not with someone else so much so, but with yourself. And you know, the whole purpose of the International Black Summit is to bring into being the participants' vision for the Black community and themselves. So anytime we're in that conversation, we're always bringing forth a vision in some form or fashion. You know, so it's like, it was just magnificent. It was just magnificent, the things that unfolded. And, you know, Glenn, you've been doing it a long time. And it's, mm-hmm. it's always... It's just always so, what's the word, invigorating to me. You know, even the triggers and the realizations, the be with what is and get the gift and, you know, like just really getting to those ups and those seeming, those hills and those valleys. It appears like a struggle, but it's like once you get there, it's like, oh my God, it's like heaven. When you make it through, you know, when you be with that trigger, and you know triggers occur in the conversation. And so
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh boy,
it was really something. And as a facilitator, it was training because I myself and Tamara, we facilitated yesterday, and Jackie was our support. Jackie, she was our support yesterday, and then on Friday, that was a short meeting. You know, it was like from about 11 until 3. Yeah, I think it was 3 4 o'clock my time. And so it was a little different, and it was training, you know. So on one day, I was, like, receiving, and then the next day I was giving. And so, or serving, I'll say, is better than, is a better, what's the word? It's a better description of what, you know, what occurred. And so, to be on the giving and receiving, or the receiving and the giving in, and then, you know, when Tamra took over and Jackie took over, I was again receiving at the leadership body level, which is different than the facilitator body level, you know. And it was just, you know, like I was fueled, I mean, like filled to the brim when I finally got in the bed at 1 o'clock, because it was after 12 when we got off that call. Which was after one, your time. After 12, my time. And so, but we discovered many things about expansion and beliefs, you know, and what this conversation is going to bring to that country. You know, all the teams are preparing and, you know, preparing for the work that will be done in Belize. And we have two people who are on their way in the next, I think about 10 days, we'll have two people who are there, you know, on the ground, you know, interacting with the people. They're going to, you know, let us know what's going on, and hopefully, you know, Salima is going first, and then about 5 days later, Chakasha's going to join her. And
oh wow,
yeah, and so they're going to stay for a month, and so they're going to get some good work done down there and do summer share. Salima going to do summer shares. That's her goal, and you know, Chakasha's going to be with the people. She, you know, she'll probably call into the show from, you know, on Sundays, and just, you know, let us know what's going on and have us meeting people. So for our listeners, you know, look forward to finding out more about Belize, and I think they begin February 10th, and they come back on March the 10th, something like that. And okay. My days may be off 3 or 4. But so, you know, we can look forward to hearing from the people in Belize and from, you know, our two members of the summer conversation. So that's exciting. You know, that's really, really exciting. We're going to set up live radio broadcasts from Belize when we're there in August. And so since we're on that subject, we invite you to go to the website blacksummer.org and register. You know, register.
Mm-hmm.
Just register. Just fill out the form and watch your life change just by filling out the form. That's the magic of the International Black Summer. That's part of the magic. There's so many different parts to the magic of the summit. You know, a sister from D.C., I'm not sure if she's D.C. or Baltimore, but Wungaza, she holds the space for the structure facilitator team. And so she taught, Susan taught, Paul taught on Friday, and it was just wonderful. And the virtual team, I know I'm going back and forth from Belize to the weekend, but it was just unbelievable. I mean, it was unbelievable, the things that occurred. And you know, Glenn, it's all there for you. So when you have time to go through it, you know, you can. But it was just wonderful. But like I said, the hills and the mountains and the valleys, you know, and the shadows that come up and come out, and then all of a sudden you work through whatever and you get it, you know, you like, get it. I so got alignment last night. It was just all in my body. What, you know, the revelation of what is available in that alignment process. And alignment alignment is a process that we do that when we come to our decisions or courses of action that we're going to take, we do this process called alignment, and it is one of our distinctions. And it continues to distinguish itself every time we do it, you know, like every time we do it. And so I just, oh, my God, it was like an out-of-body experience. Last night we had an alignment on a couple of things, you know, because we have a retreat in February. We have another weekend in May, and it's going to be May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and it's going to be in the Mid-Atlantic area. We don't have a specific place yet, but in that Mid-Atlantic.
It's going to be in Atlanta?
No, Mid-Atlantic area. So it'll be.
Oh, Mid-Atlantic, okay.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool. And we even had to distinguish what Mid-Atlantic was, because everybody was thinking. Okay, Jersey, Washington, D.C., Baltimore.
You know. Right.
But it's bigger than that. Mid-Atlantic is Delaware, Virginia, Philadelphia, you know, Pennsylvania. So it really, you know, we really kind of opened up things. It was good. It was good. It was teamwork. The virtual team is off the chain. I mean, they are so together. You know, they are so about their business, you know, about their vision for the summit being virtual. You know, they are so in that conversation. I really would like for us to make some, you know, make those our calls tonight, some of those people on virtual, because they did their thing the last 2 days. I mean, it was smooth. It was, you know, it was just.
And it was effortless. It really was effortless. You know,
yeah.
Once you got in, they took care of you. Whether you were on the phone or whether you were coming in on the video and people could see you, you know, I think that it speaks to the level of growth that we've had as a facilitated body in the from a virtual standpoint, and it really is us standing on the shoulders of what Martin Grant envisioned. Back in the first Oakland summit, when he stood up and said, we should be televising this all over the world.
Yeah.
And ability. We now, technology has caught up with our vision. Such that it's practical enough.
Somebody
cost effective enough for us to really stand in that vision. That he created. And, of course, when he was having the conversation, video conferences weren't happening. That was a notion. That wasn't necessarily something that was prevalent or being done a lot, and it certainly wasn't something that this group of volunteers could put together for the amount of money that we're paying for it now. So, I mean, so when you look at it, we've come a long way in terms of developing the technology and making the technology available, number one. And number two, the ability for us to engage ourselves in such an interactive way and not be in the same location really begins to provide us with an opportunity to really be a demonstration of this work. You know, you know, the whole conversation of virtual prerequisites and so forth. All of those things we're going to be able to start doing and can do and have done, but even take it to a grander scale now that we've got the video capability. You know, we could do that stuff on the phone, but now this gives us a whole nother dimension. So it's exciting. One of the things I want to share about Friday's event was the whole notion of what's in it for me. You know, that was something that had me, it was almost like I wasn't afraid, I was afraid to speak that before. Mm-hmm. And so this conversation opened it up such that that was all part of the mix. And it was all inside of the enrollment conversation. Because the truth about the matter for me is that I got real clear a long time ago that I got more out of it than I put into it. And so for me, and all I would have to do is to listen for what the gifts were that were presented to me. And so I was pretty clear that I didn't need to do that, but yet the freedom to do that and to engage it was the piece that really opened up for me and for me to begin to look at the actions that I'm taking consistent with the summit. You know, it's okay for me to look for what's in it for me. What that did is also had me look at what's in it for me in my life. So it was I was able to then transfer that conversation into opportunities and conversations for me to look at what's in it for me in my life where I'm not taking responsibility. I'm not taking salary. I'm doing things on a volunteer basis. And what I want to do is be able to be paid for my services. It really began to have me engage in that conversation for myself inside of other areas, not necessarily the summit, which was very, was awesome. Really was awesome. Really was awesome for me. So I just wanted to share that possibility. And that opportunity for our listeners out there. So it was really to be inclusive of it all. You know, to hold your intentions, your personal intentions, but also be clear and listening for what's available for you.
Yeah. Let's say a little more about this. Is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on with Glenn Greenwich and in New Hampshire, with 10 inches of snow, and I'm Henrietta Bird in Chicago with about three. I think we had maybe three or four this week, or this weekend, or yesterday, actually. It snowed from the morning to nighttime yesterday. But anyway, but we're in a conversation about something that was introduced in a training we were in, actually, a facilitator training we were in on Friday with the International Black Summit, structured facilitator body or team. And one of the things that we were distinguishing is this, I guess we could call it a strategy or a concept, what's in it for me. And it's interesting because when Paul read the quote, and I think, well, who did he say, Tracy? Byron Tracy did that quote?
Byron Tracy has the converse, the inverted quote, and then he read the quote that we worked on, which was the one, what's in it for you, to value
right.
It.
Devaluing it.
Well,
say it again.
Well,
I didn't quite hear you.
I'm going to say it's the converse of it, because in Brian Tracy's, winners think about what's available for the people, and losers think about what's in it for them. And
mm-hmm.
So the quote that we – so that was the contrary or the converse to the quote that we actually worked on. And the quote that we worked on was about distinguishing what's in it for ourselves as we look, so that we get the clarity of our intention out in the space, so that we include that inside of the conversation. And so as a facilitator, what we were focused on was what's in it for us. You know, what we're going to get out of the experience of this summit experience for this summit year.
Mhm. And it was really something, because when Paul read the quote, I can remember, you know, my first thought was, in any sales training, and I don't know if it's still this way, but back in the day when you were trained for sales, you were always taught to push to a customer what was in that purchase for them. Like, tell them what's in it for them. Tell them how it's going to benefit them. Tell them how that, you know, that was like drilled into us. I was a business major, and that was, I can't tell you how many times I heard that. Let them know what's in it for them. Make sure, you know, when I trained with another several companies, and that was always what they taught you. What's in it for the customer? Let them know what's in it for the customer. You know, let them, you know, like a person always wants to know that. You know, how's it going to benefit me? How's it going to do this? How's it, you know? And that's what you push. So when he read that was something that losers think about, it kind of like, oh, you know, I was like, wait a minute. And so I had to really listen after that, you know, to see how it was going to unfold. So it was really interesting. I'm going to review that again, because that was a really interesting share that we heard there.
Yeah, and I actually want to also share the conversation that one of our facilitators, Oakland, had an experience. She was on the bus on public transportation, and what she said was this young man was cursing and was just using foul language, and inside of her trigger, I'll say that because she didn't actually speak it that way, although we're clear that she was inside of a trigger, was that that she yelled at the young man and said, look, you know, why don't you stop all that cussing? And, of course, he responded how he responded. But that's not the piece I really want to speak to. But what I do want to speak to is that she was compelled out of her vision for our community to have respect for each other. And so inside of that, she spoke into his world. Now, one of the things that we were looking at is this whole conversation of enrollment, you know, and enfoldment. And what are you enrolling people? And so clearly where she was operating from is she was operating out of her enrollment of him into the conversation of the declaration, which I read earlier. Nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, you know, like that.
Right.
And so his reaction was that he was not enrolled and he wasn't registered into what she was speaking to. And it was really what was interesting for me was that this facilitator then began to speak about the fact that this man had just gotten kicked out of his house. He was now looking for somewhere to stay or move to. He clearly had bags of his belongings with him. And so the conversation, you know, again, as always, best when it's 2020, but in that moment, in the heat of the moment, what there was the possibility of, you know, if you need some assistance, this may be a number to call. Or if you need a place to stay, you can give this person a call or something to be of aid inside of his situation, which was that he needed a place to stay. And so it was really out of that particular frustration. So we began to look at that as we engage people in the conversation at International Black Summit and to begin to look at the results that we are attached to and that what are the opportunities to be able to identify the opportunities in the moment and use them or not.
Right.
Or not, because we don't have to interact with every time that we see something that triggers us. But again, if you look at our question for the year, which was, what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? Am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? And so when you look at that, a trigger is revealed to her an alignment to her authentic self, and what she was speaking to was her vision for the black community. And so that was the thing that again that we've been engaged in, but it's also been the conversation that had her speak out to this young man who she didn't know, who clearly was stressed inside of his situation, you know, without having the living space. And so we began to look at how to, you know, and I think that it is completely, perfectly aligned with us looking for what's in it for us as we engage in these conversations. You know, what was in it for her inside of that conversation to speak to this young man? You know, what was the opportunity? What was in it for her? And what possibly was in it for her was some additional conversation. So we begin to look at this whole, am I enrolling? What am I enrolling? What am I enrolled in? What am I looking to enroll other people in as well? So, I mean, all of those engagements begin to come in. What am I registered in? What am I registering other people into? So it's like, you know, you begin to look at the conversation inside of the International Black Summit, but you also begin to look at that conversation for yourself in your life. So that was the thing that I was so pleased. I wasn't on the call for the whole day yesterday, and for a short time on Friday as well. But it was just rich. It was just a very, very rich conversation.
Good. It was. I mean, it was. I'm just like, I'm glad we started talking about it because I didn't even have time to realize it because, you know, like I said, I went to bed at 1 o'clock. I had to get up early because I had a big responsibility today. And I had to be prepared for it. And I'm cleansing. I'm on the third day of the cleanse. And so my energy is interesting, you know. It's like, you know, this is the day that when you get through this day, you're just on top of it, everything. But you have these lulls on the third day that make you have to lay down. You know, you just have to lay down. Or you can't focus or you're, you know, it's like, interesting. So I hadn't really replayed any of it or even thought about it or had a conversation about how wonderful this weekend was, you know, just, and I'm still in it. That's the thing about it. Even saying was is not really doing it justice. It's how wonderful this weekend is. And it was Martin Luther King weekend. Okay, and when we set these dates, when we aligned on these dates, we went back and forth about whether to work on this weekend or whether not. And we came to an agreement that there's no better weekend for this work to occur, you know. And so, you know, just all of that inside of everything that occurred. And so we definitely want to say happy birthday, Martin, and thank you for everything, just everything that we are today. You know, thank you for providing the space for us as Black people, Black Americans, to have things that we may not have ever had. You know, thank you for providing a vision for us so that we know that we can go through some storms and shift. You know, it's almost like the whole premise of the International Black Summit is based on Martin Luther King's dream. You know, and, you know, when I look at that, Glenn, I'm just really, really glad that we have this opportunity to celebrate Dr. King and the legacy that has been provided for us, you know, through everything. We were reminded earlier today that, you know, we just asked this question. What if Dr. King had given up on his work because he was criticized or because he was dealing with things that were threatening to him? Or, you know, we could name probably 20, 30 things that would stop people right now today that did not stop him, you know. And
uh-huh.
So we were charged this morning with not only writing the project that we've been given by life, to write it, but to be excited about it, motivated is the word, to be motivated, create a strategy, and take action in relationship to it, you know, and keep Dr. King in mind while you're doing it. You know, just keep Dr. King in mind while we're working on our vision in the International Black Summit conversation. Keep Dr. King in mind when we feel down and out and when things aren't going like we want them to go. You know, just keep Dr. King in mind. One of the other things that was stated was that he probably had no clue of what benefit he really was giving and how he was really serving the universe. He just knew he was just driven to do it, you know, just driven to do it. And so as Glenn and I, you know, every week we talk about different things that, you know, like I'm always, you know, in this conversation about spiritual communication, you know, like the spiritual communication. And Glenn is always talking about economic development, you know, sacred communication, spiritual connection. You know, that kind of thing, which drives you, you know, which is the only drive that really will get you where it is that you intend to go, is if you go inward, and get direction, you know. And so that's what Dr. King was all about, you know. And he kept going back, you know. He kept praying, and he kept going off and speaking to his disciples, so to speak, and strategizing and taking action. And look at the results that he has, even years after he transitioned. Look at the results that are still, look at the things that are still shifting because of him. You know, just really, really take a look. And celebrate that spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King as we move into this, you know, this holiday tomorrow. You know, really, really take a look. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And Glenn, it is time. Look, we've been talking. It's time for our call out.
Oh yeah, we've only got about 15 minutes left.
Right. Oh, I'm glad I looked at the clock. Okay. This is just, you know, this weekend. You can see where I'm just. Oh my God, I am just so excited and in love with myself at a different level. You know, just at a different level. Let's see. Who we're gonna call? Who do you think we should call?
I'd like to hear from Susan or maybe John or.
Oh my God! John was awesome. He was awesome yesterday. Just last night, just awesome. Okay, so Well, Glenn, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to contact one of these two people, if not both.
Right, right. Yeah, we've got about 10 minutes left. So,
okay.
So I'll let you pick. And it doesn't have to be either one of them. Anybody that you can get a hold of to share their experience of yesterday. You know.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about police and let folks know about what's available in the conversation of police. because that's a very special conversation. We've actually got a call on 619-327. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hello. It is Takesha, world citizen.
Oh, perfect.
Hey, Takesha.
Yeah.
Well, here, look. Someone called up.
Oh, who is that?
That's Henrietta.
Oh, she sounds like Tamara today.
That's because she was in the zone yesterday.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? but I wanted to finish my intro.
Go ahead.
Is Takesha, world citizen, on the continent of North America, on the West Coast, in the city of Los Angeles. That is where I am today, but I may not be here after Tuesday, because I'm a world citizen.
All right. Okay. And that's what world citizens do. So we're actually looking for you to speak a little bit about this weekend and what it was like for you, the virtual weekend that we just had.
Wow. It was awesome. I'm going to quote someone. And what she said is, F, brilliant. It was just so, I mean, it's like you're having a conversation with George Washington Carver, W.E.B. Du Bois, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and they're talking about ordinary stuff, but given who they are, it's all so powerful. So it was a very powerful exchanging of conversations and spirits and just being in love with the people in the room because they were being so authentic in their happiness, in their authenticness in being pissed off, their authenticness in being, I'm just here. And I'm strapped in my seatbelt because it's got a lot of turns. It was awesome.
You know that's great. One of the things that you brought up for me, Henrietta, and you just echoed it, Takesha, is all of these leaders. And one of the things, one of the conversations I've been having with Byron is, you know, we have this program called Being the Leader in Your Life. And what's the opportunity for all of us to recognize our leadership? You know, what would be the possibility if we recognize our leadership such that we didn't look for anybody else to do the work that we seek to do? You know, like really. Because for me, that's really what we're up to. You know, that's really the conversation. Yes, Martin Luther King was an outstanding leader, and the work that he's done is still laid down legacy up until today. And what's the work that we as an individual can do in the leadership of our communities? Because that's what it's going to take to get us to the next level. It's going to be all of us activating our leadership and going for what it is that we see, for the spirituality, for the economic development, for the world traveler, and the connecting of cultures, the world economy. All of these things that we are about, we have and see it. And so it's an opportunity for us to use this work to advance our vision. So that's the thing that I just saw. I keep seeing, and I just wanted to speak to our listeners so that they are in the conversation of the abundance and wealth that's available in this conversation called the Internet.
Yes, Glenn. So eloquently put. I'm here in Los Angeles. I've been out of the country for 2.5 months. So to walk back in and to walk back in the L.A. area, I'm actually in the area that many people know from the movie, the minute I said the name. What's the one where they have the cars driving down Crenshaw of
talking about South
young,
Central.
Not South Central. It's the one, the brother made his debut on. Oh, shucks. Why can't I think? Boys in the...
Fruitvale?
No, Boys in the Hood? No. It was many years
Boys
back.
In the
I
hood?
Don't know.
Boys in the Hood?
Yeah, the one where it's the Friday guy's in there. He's a doughboy. And I think it's Boys in the Hood. But the point is,
Boys
I'm right
hood.
Around the... Yeah. And I'm also
Boys
around the
hood.
Area called Leimert Park, which is where the Kwanzaa parade has been since 19... My daughter was born in 78. So since 1980.
Uh-huh.
I'm over here where Magic Johnson's theater is. And at the time when he put the theater in over here, it was a huge thing because it was just like what you were saying. He took on the fact that people are saying, oh, we're not going to put things over there in the black community because of this, because of that. He was like, not only am I putting a theater there, I'm putting the top of the market theater over there. And when you would go in and watch the shows, you know, they would run these things at the beginning, and he would be speaking, and one of the things he was saying was, you're not going to be putting your feet up on the back of these seats. Because this is your community. This is your theater.
Mm-hmm.
When you look left and to the right, the people you see working here are your next-door neighbors. And, you know, but he was invested in investing in the neighborhood. He put the first Starbucks in Compton, California, you know, and everybody, that's not where they was looking to put it. And I think 2 years ago, he put up a 24-hour fitness in Compton. So, you know, and he didn't need anybody's permission. He didn't need anybody's business plan to say, should I do this? You know, he was investing in the community, and he knew there were, the market was there. He knew there was people drinking coffee and people who want to be able to go to the gym and, you know, do things that everybody's doing. But, you know, he made a stand. And also, I was in the library. I went to the library last week, and I go in, and it's quiet and just nice environment, and I see this gentleman at the table working with this student. And they were, in this particular case, it was different races. He was African-American. I was at the library about 2.5 hours, and he was there working with the a young man. He looked like he was about 14. And I could see him, like, encouraging him. I could see him, you know, giving knowledge and being happy. You know, they were smiling. And I walked around past them about 2 or 3 times, and later there came a time when I noticed they weren't busy. And I just walked over to him. I said, sir, are you tutoring him? He said, yes. I said, oh, so, you know, you're a tutor. And he said, yes. I said, may I please shake your hand and say thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in your community. Now, he didn't need anybody to tell him to come and do that. He wasn't doing it for money. He was doing it because it was the thing to do. And that's a leader. That's a leader.
Yes.
That's what you call a CEO. He's dealing with human equity.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we talk about. Just think about what each of us do in our lives. If each of us went to a young person and just partake of information with that individual, what the world would be like, you know, it just blows me away when I think about it. And you don't need permission. You don't need to know how to do anything but walk down to the school and go in here in the school and say, I'm here to help a student.
Yep. Yeah. You know, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And And I want to thank you for being a leader, for going over to him and acknowledging him and thanking him for the work that he's doing, because that also helps to encourage him and to inspire him around what he is doing and that somebody cares. Because that's the thing when we look around and we are in leadership roles doing things to impact the community, and we wonder if anybody even noticed what's going on. We don't do it for the acknowledgement, but when the acknowledgement comes in, it's a very powerful thing to support the work that we're doing. So that encouragement is also leadership on your part. So I just wanted to point to that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. So, I haven't been on the show for a while. I've been anxious to get back. I'm sitting here just feeling, the bubbles going all over my body. I was very excited when you guys shared that you wanted to have someone come on and share around beliefs, and that was a part of your show on a weekly basis. You know, I said, I need to bring all my energies together, have myself focused that I don't forget, and to get to the call. I know you mentioned that it probably was the first 20 or 30 minutes of the show, and I know I got here at 5:45, but I want you to know I was just concluding my call with the Belief Team 2014. So, this is a perfect place to come and share with you guys some of the things we're looking at, some of the things we want to have happen. We walk into Belief the first week of August in 2014. It's like everybody knows us, and we know everybody there.
Yeah, that's great. That is awesome, 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 awesome. I love it. I love that the work that we're getting ready to do in Belize, and that you're getting ready to go. You and Salim are getting ready to camp out and do some powerful things to support the coming of July 31st and the annual event in August. So thank
yes.
you for taking that on.
Yes, to give some dates and details to things, Salima will be leaving from the Baltimore area, traveling to Belize on January 29th, I believe, or January 30th, and will be there probably until February the 15th. I will fly out of the San Diego area to first Costa Rica and visit with a alumni of the youth summit, Benita. I don't know Benita's last name right now because I know she just recently married, but I will be hosted by her. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you look at a young person and you know you helped share something in their life, and then later on they're inviting you to a whole new world. She's been living there since, I think October, maybe 2012, but definitely October, 2012. And I actually saw her, and this is what's great about the summit, like how many times your life bumps up against someone else's life out of the summit. This young lady, I'll start coming to the summit when she was like 14, literally getting to places like Brazil, to Ghana. Now, I'm an older woman with a full-time job, and I'm getting to the locations, but then I look to the right of me, here's this 14-year-old that's there like I'm there. And I was like, wow, she's sharp. She's getting here. And she don't even have a regular job like I got a regular job. But she's getting herself here. And I followed her all the way through her graduating from Howard University and then doing her master's with the University of, I believe it's Chapman, where she's taking her courses on a cruise ship. So when she's taking a course, her course is set in India. Then her next course is set in Africa. So she went all around the world pursuing her education, her master's degree. And then I met her, as you guys all know and people followed, when Edwin Devon made his transition last year. I went on to Philadelphia for his transition, you know, funeral, and Benita was there. And as we were talking and just being in the love of being in the presence of a person like Edwin, I said to her, hey, when are you going to Costa Rica? She said, Chakaysha, I will be in Costa Rica in October. And I tell you, she was there in October. So I have been setting up my life to be in Costa Rica. So I got that handled. On February 5th, I will be flying out into Costa Rica, staying with her for 5 days, and then flying out and going to Belize, because that's what we do in the International Black Summit. We go to the places where we're going. So I'm excited. I'm excited. So I'll be there on the 10th, and I'll basis with Salima, and we'll be there together for 5 days. So when she flies off, I'll still be in Belize for another 30 days. And so the chain of impactness is now, it's in the making. It's in the water. It's in the sand. It's in the fruit. It's under the sun that shines in Belize.
All right. I love it. Well, we're out of time. I'm going to give it to you, Henrietta. Henrietta, you there? This has been a great show.
Can you hear me, Gwen?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I'm like, how come you can't hear me? I don't know what happened. But it has. This has been a great show. God, it went by so quickly. It really did. But, Chakaysha, it was wonderful being with you this weekend, and welcome home, and just thank you for how you serve the universe, not just the International Black Summit, but just thank you for your philanthropy. Thank you for your vision. You know, thank you for keeping Dr. King's dream alive. Gwen, I'm going to acknowledge you again, as I do all the time. Thank you for keeping Dr. King's dream alive. Thank you for the youth summits, the programs that you're starting, the work that you're doing in New York with your community. You know, these two individuals are just really great examples of people who are doing the work of the International Black Summit. You know, they declare their community and all communities whole and complete. And as we move into this year, you will hear more and more about the work that the International Black Summit teams are doing, as well as the different places in the world that Chakaysha will be living, a world citizen. And, you know, like I said, Chakaysha will be our connection in Belize, and we will have a lot of connection with them. So you will see what this country is about long before we arrive in August. Make sure you go to blacksummit.org and register for the International Black Summit in August. If you need a prerequisite or a summit share, just simply send an email and let us know where you are. Gather your people together. We need at least 10 people. And if you can't get 10 people, let us know that, okay? Whatever it is we have to do to get to you so you are prepared for the International Black Summit, we will. So God bless you. Have a wonderful holiday tomorrow. Continue to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King. the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Back to you, Glenn.
Well, on that note, good night. God bless. Thank you for listening. Tune in. Make sure you check out our website, www.blacksummit.org, for all of the juicy information that we'll be sharing about what's happening around the world and certainly in Belize. Come back next week and keeping on. Peace and blessings. Good night and God bless.
God bless.